The boxers have been given their instructions. The seconds are out. The crowd is ready for another edition of Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing with your presenter, the boxing historian, Greg Rashid.
Well, I want to say swadikup to everyone out there. This is Greg Rashid, your presenter of another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Happy to have you aboard today on this wonderful day. But every day is wonderful. You make it wonderful, it will be wonderful. And we're going to have a great time as we always do on the program. And by the way, if you're listening on the weekend of April the 12th, 13th, 14th, we are celebrating here in Bangkok, Thailand. That's where I am, Bangkok, Thailand, Songkran. And what Songkran is the New Year's for Thai people. And it's a joyous celebration. You know, when I get out of here, I'll be part of that. You know, they had this big water festival where they throw, people literally throw water at you, but it's all in good fun. And it's just a wonderful time. A lot of folks go back to their homes, in smaller provinces and all to see their family. But it's New Year's. It's New Year's here. And we're going to have another great show today on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And if you're new to the program, what we do on the program, we do fantasy fights. In other words, what would happen if Muhammad Ali fought Mike Tyson, for instance, or Joe Louis fought Jack Dempsey, something like that. That's what we do on here. We use usually title bout to PC game, and we put the names of different boxers in there, and we come up with the results and see what happens. It's all in fun, and as I always tell folks, it's not etched in stone. If I put in Tyson versus Ali, and Tyson knocks Ali out in the first round, that doesn't mean that it really happened, but it's just fun, because I know you. If you listen to the program, you're a boxing enthusiast, and I know you sit around with your buddies, sometimes just to yourself, and you say, I wonder what happened if these two guys got together, or in some women, because we'll have some women fights on here too. But we're going to have today a light heavyweight fight. That's going to be John Contith versus Dwight Muhammad Kawawi, the former Dwight Braxton. And it's going to be from London. We're going to have the one and only Knockout Nigel as our commentator. But before we do that, as I always say, besides doing fantasy fights, we always talk about the real world of boxing. We have boxing news on here. It's presented today by Dorothy. And we're going to start off today. I think we'll talk a little bit about with Devin Haney and his weight issues. Devin Haney is going to be fighting Ryan Garcia soon. So let's hear what she has to say about that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
WBC light welterweight champion Devin Haney's decision to rehydrate to 165 pounds for fights at 140 has raised concerns about his health and fairness in competition. His visibly drained appearance indicates that he may be putting himself at risk to gain an advantage over smaller opponents. Fans who praise Haney's dedication must acknowledge that fighting at such a reduced weight class has left him looking gaunt, resembling Skeletor. While Haney has found success at 135 and 140 pounds, questions arise about whether this is due to an unfair size advantage. To protect fighters like Haney and ensure fair competition, measures like the IBF strict 10-pound rehydration limit should be adopted by the WBC. This would prevent fighters from exploiting weight manipulation tactics to gain an edge over opponents. Haney should consider moving up to weight classes that better suit his natural size, like 147 or 154 pounds, to prioritize his health and competitive integrity. Boxing, like Major League Baseball banning the spitball pitch for fairness, must address and eliminate the issue of weight bullying to preserve the integrity and safety of the sport.
Thank you, Deborah, for that report there. And she has some more right now. And we're going to talk about right now. She'll talk about right now Canelo Alvarez and his, you know, he's preparing for his May 4th fight. But he has a lot to say. So let's hear what Dorothy has to say about that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Canelo Alvarez has no plans to fight David Benavidez as he stuck by his decision to face Jaime Munguia. Canelo defends his undisputed super middleweight title on May 4th. The boxing fans were desperate to see the David Benavidez fight, but Munguia got the nod. Benavidez is the WBC super middleweight interim champion, a position he has been in for over 2 years. When Canelo was asked about the Benavidez fight, he requested $150-200 million to take it. No promoter could feasibly put up those numbers. Even the Saudis were reluctant. Canelo was accused of pricing himself out. Benavidez is also on record, saying he is open to taking a rehydration clause if there are worries over the size difference. However, with no progress being made, the WBC must decide. They must either enforce the mandatory or strip Canelo. This is especially true since Alvarez has no intention of taking that fight. And then what? You're going to talk about that clause. When I beat him, they're going to say that I put that clause. I want nothing to do with that fight. Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation because after the fight, they team Benavidez are going to talk about because of this. I fight with any fighter and I win my good money. I can do whatever I want at this time because I deserve it. I did everything in my career and I deserve to be in this position. I'm going to do whatever I want, Canelo stated. Alvarez has gotten his way for now. Benavidez will box Oleksandr Gvozdyk for the WBC light heavyweight interim title on June 2nd. A victory makes him mandatory for the winner of Dmitry Bivol versus Artur Beterbiev. Bivol and Beterbiev box on June 1st for the undisputed light heavyweight championship. If Benavidez becomes a WBC mandatory at 168 and 175, the organization will be pressured into taking some action. Once Benavidez has fought at 175, there are worries he won't be able to come down to 168. If the Canelo fight cannot happen at 168, it will not happen at 175. Alvarez had already moved up to 175 to box Bivol. The Mexican was dominated and bullied in a one-sided unanimous decision loss. Pauly Malignaggi accused Alvarez of disrespecting throwback fighters, namely Muhammad Ali, who would fight anyone. Imagine if Muhammad Ali acted like Canelo. Muhammad Ali fought everyone in their prime, and that's why boxing became so big. In the 80s, boxing was all over network TV, with strong ratings. Why? Because in the previous generation, Ali did what Ali did. He didn't win every fight, but he took on every tough opponent, the biggest risk he could find. George Foreman, Ken Norton, the way he did it is the way a champion does it. He was not bigger than the sport. He didn't act that way, Malignaggi stated.
Thank you for that report there, Dorothy, as we get to more reports that you have come up with. And by the way, speaking of that June 1st fight, there's another fight that's happening that same night in the same arena. And Dorothy's going to talk about that as she talks about the one and only Deontay Wilder and what he's been going through. And I'll explain some things after she does this interview.
Deontay Wilder is training ahead of a potential fight with Zhilei Zhang on June 1st on the Dmitry Bivol versus Artur Beterbiev card. The bronze bomber is looking to bounce back from his last fight as he lost a one-sided unanimous decision defeat to Joseph Parker. Wilder was far from his best as his right hand was missing for large parts of the fight. The defeat ended hopes of an Anthony Joshua fight with question marks over whether Wilder would retire. After the loss, several reasons were put forward for Wilder's poor performance. The former WBC heavyweight champion blamed jet lag, stating the travel arrangements impacted his ability to perform. Wilder's trainer, Malek Scott, was also clear that the boxer's ayahuasca usage may have removed his killer instinct. It was a boring fight. Nothing really happened. I went right back to training the next day. He really didn't do nothing. They just went off the little flurries or whatever. In the training for that, I had to travel 2 times, 20 hours of traveling, and those guys were already in Europe. They were only 2 or 3 hours away. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying what I had to go through, Wilder said. I think Deontay has a killer instinct that you can't suppress, but I think he enjoyed ayahuasca. He said it made him a bit content and understand the smaller and softer things in life. Violence wasn't a top priority that night, and I think that's why we came up short. Deontay is a killer. He's violent. That Deontay didn't show up that night. But that's not the fighter you're going to see in his next fight, Scott said.
Now, you know, if you don't know anything, ayahuasca, it is a South American brew, we'll call it that, that is on the Amazon and used by the indigenous folks. As one, it can be something as far as for purification, use as far as relaxing in some ceremonies, but also it can cause anxiety. And why would, first of all, I don't understand if the boxing commissions know that Deontay Wilder is using that, how come he hasn't been banned or suspended? I mean, it's a drug. It is a drug. And why would he use that anyway if he doesn't get suspended? Why would you use something that's going to give you, you're a boxer, you have killer instinct. I hate to say it, but you have killer instinct. And why would you take that away from yourself in a major fight, come in all relaxed? I don't understand that. But anyway, Dorothy has one more story here, and this is about, I just found out about this one, just a few, you know, last half hour. Now, Dorothy researched this one, but this is Lomachenko. Well, Vasily Lomachenko is coming back to fight, so let's hear this. And my friends who listen in Australia will love this, and they probably already know this story, but let's listen to this on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
The promoter of former three-weight world champion Vasily Lomachenko says his boxer has a tough task in front of him when he takes on former unified lightweight champion George Kambosos Jr. for the vacant IBF 135-pound title at the RAC Arena in Perth, Australia, on May 12th. Ukrainian southpaw Lomachenko, 36, and 30-year-old Australian Kambosos have two common opponents in Teofimo the Takeover Lopez and Devin the Dream Haney. Back in October 2020, Lomachenko lost his world lightweight titles to Brooklyn's Lopez, 26, on points. A little over a year later, Kambosos would lift the lightweight titles from Lopez by split decision. In his very next fight, Kambosos faced Devin Haney, losing a unanimous decision in June 2022. He fared no better in their immediate rematch 4 months later, losing by an even wider margin on the cards. Lomachenko challenged Haney in May last year, losing a close unanimous decision that many fans and pundits felt should have gone the other way. The promoter of Lomachenko, Bob Arum, believes his guy deserved to have his hand raised in that bout. Lomachenko, I think he's still a great fighter. His fight with Haney, I was watching that fight and I like Devin. I think he's a great fighter, but thought Loma won that fight, the top-ranked chief said to Fight Hub TV. The judges decided otherwise and you have to respect the judges' decision. Has Loma slipped a little? Yeah, he's 36 and he's not that old, but he had this long amateur career, almost 400 fights at the top level, so he's probably not as good as he was 5 years ago. The question then is, does Lomachenko have enough left in the tank to get over Kambosos in his home country? Aram is certainly hoping so. George Kambosos is a live dog in the fight. He's a very good fighter. He's always in good shape. It's going to be a tough fight, and we'll see who comes out on top, Aram said. I've loved having Loma as part of Top Rank. I have great affection. I think he's a tremendous guy, a great family, a great father, and everything you want in a fighter. But he's in very tough with Kambosos. He couldn't handle Devin Haney Kambosos, but he certainly handled Teofimo. Now he's fighting in Australia again. So that's going to be a very interesting match. Aram added that the fight he would like to make for Lomachenko next is against WBC lightweight title holder Shakur Fearless Stevenson, the 26-year-old southpaw from Newark, New Jersey. I've never been to Perth, so I'm looking forward to that, Aram said. To me, to see Shakur versus Lomachenko would be such a treat to see two skilled guys go at each other, but that's in the future.
It certainly is. Thank you very much for that, Dorothy. You know, Perth is basically right up the street from me. I shouldn't say that, but it is. I am over here in Southeast Asia and down the road, more or less. The continent of Australia exists, and maybe our friends, because I have a number of folks that listen in Australia to the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Maybe someone there will say, you know, we want you over here to cover the fight. So, please, I've never been to Australia. I'd love to see that fight, Kambosos versus Lomachenko. Please, if you got the funding, please send that. I'd love that. But anyway, you know, and by the way, those of you who want to support the program, go to my Patreon site. Look for Nourished by History, then look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast, and donate what you can, whatever you can do. That'll really help keep the lights on, get us some another. I got a new mic, thanks to folks out there, but, you know, we need more equipment so you can hear the show and do some things and conduct more interviews on here. Also, you can go to my Buy Me a Coffee site, look for Nourished by History, then go to Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast and contribute something and keep the show going on, because folks love it. You know, we've been doing this since December of last year. We've done over, I think this is our 23rd show, and I really am impressed with the folks who have tuned in, who listen on YouTube, on Facebook, on Apple. You know, wherever folks listen, but a lot of folks listen, as I always say, every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Mountain Time in Colorado on KUHSDenver.com, created by the one and only, the legendary, great Henry Archuleta. I want to say hi to all my friends in the Colorado region. Hope to get back there to visit sometime soon. You never know. Really want to go get back there and, you know, just see my buddies there. But anyway, you know, do what you can to support the program. But we're going to do what we can right now and get the main event going on. As I said, the light heavyweight fight between John Conniff and Dwight Muhammad Akwawi. And this is from Liverpool. And we got my man, the one and only Knockout Nigel, who's going to commentate on the fight. So let's take it away to Liverpool now. So let's hear Knockout Nigel right now.
This is Knockout Nigel, your commentator for today's bout. I must say this is a special one for me because I am back home in Liverpool at Beer Keller to watch local hero John Conte tussle with the Camden buzzsaw Dwight Muhammad Kawi in the light heavyweight division. I will do my best to be a neutral commentator, but Liverpool is my home and Conte is my man. So forgive me if I become a little excited during the bout. This 12-rounder will be judged on 10-point system. The judges are Chris Daly, George Smith, and Paul Seater. Counting for the knockdowns and keeping order in the ring will be Benji Estevas. I will take a sip of Liverpool's best bubbly as the bell sounds for round one. The fighters are in ring center. Kawi lands a combination for 5 points that staggers Conte. My word, please don't let this one end early. Conte counters with a 3-point left uppercut that does not faze Kawi. Kawi pushes Conte into the neutral corner. Conte lands a 4-point combination. Kawi laughs at him and presses forward. The crowd already senses that Conte will need a sledgehammer to stop the buzzsaw. Conte misses with a left cross. Kawi misses with a right cross. Conte is trying to get out of the neutral corner, but Kawi keeps cutting him off. Kawi lands a partially blocked combination for 1 point. Kawi shoots a left hook below Conte's belt that causes him to drop to one knee in pain. Kawi is admonished by the referee for the low blow. Kawi appears to say something about the referee's mother and a cow. Kawi is one tough block. I wouldn't want to cross him. The Liverpool crowd is raining boos down on Kawi. Kawi makes a gesture to the crowd about cutting their throats. He is in hustle territory and doesn't care. Conte is given the full 5 minutes to recover from the low blow. The fighters are in ring center after he recovers. Kawi lands a partially blocked hook for 1 point as the bell sounds to end round one. Kawi is waving to the crowd as more boos rain on him. I am fearful that he may incite a riot if he keeps this up. The referee may have to disqualify him for his behavior. I am going to drink a double of bubbly to calm my nerves. That was a hard round to judge. I would give it to Conte, just due to Kawi being such a dirty fighter in that round. Conte and Kawi both tied with 7 points according to the ring judges. The bell sounds for round two. Kawi comes out and misses with a wild left cross. Conte misses with a counter left cross. Kawi misses with another wild left cross. Kawi appears overly hyped to end this bout with one blow. Kawi misses with a right cross that just missed Conte's ear. Conte clinches. Out of the clinch, Kawi lands a two-point combination. Conte is trying to counter, but he can't get through Kawi's shell like defense. The fighters are in ring center. Conte misses with a left jab. Kawi lands a two-point right uppercut. Conte clinches to avoid more punches. It appears that Kawi is talking to Conte in the clinch. Conte lands a two-point right hook when they break. Kawi lands a straight right lead for 5 points that buckles Conte's knees. I can't believe how easily Kawi is beating up our hometown fighter. Conte attempts a weak left hook that misses at the bell to end the round. Kawi is having his way with our boy. I think he can put him away whenever he is ready to do so. Conte's corner is screaming at him to start fighting before he is knocked out. Kawi scored 10 points to only 2 for Conte in round 2. I may have to offer Conte a taste of bubbly in order to give him a spark as the bell sounds for round 3. Conte bounds out of his corner and lands a solid 2-point right uppercut, followed by a partially blocked 1-point left cross. Conte lands a 2-point combo. The crowd is on its feet. This is John Conte they have come to see. Kawi appears a little confused by this aggressive Conte. At ring center, Conte misses a combination. Kawi counters with a 3-point left uppercut, a 3-point combination, a 2-point left hook to the body, and a 2-point right cross to the temple. Conte takes the punishment, then moves to the right and lands a 6-point smashing right uppercut that knocks Kawi down. Wow! Where did that come from? Kawi is reaching for the ropes to help steady himself. The count reaches 8 before he gets back on his fight. I can barely hear myself as the crowd has erupted. Kawi is given a standing 8 count as the bell sounds to end round 3. The floor is shaking with the cheering the Liverpool faithful are giving to Conte. That round was a major boost for him. John showed he is not going to be bullied by this upstart from New Jersey. Conte scored 11 points to 10 points for Kawi in that round. I will drink a salute of bubbly to John for his amazing round. The fighters rush each other at ring center for round 4. Conte lands a left cross for 4 points. Kawi misses the counter left cross. Conte is admonished for a low blow by the ref after Kawi misses. Kawi and Conte touch gloves. Kawi gives him a smile. I think Conte is gaining Kawi's respect. Kawi is bobbing and weaving in a crouch to make himself a smaller target. Conte misses a right hook. Kawi springs out of his crouch to land a 2-point combo, a 2-point left uppercut, and a 4-point right hook to Conte's left eye. That last punch caused a cut over Conte's left eye. Conte steps into Kawi and lands a crushing right hook that knocks down Kawi. My word, what a blow. Kawi is on one knee looking at the ref. At the count of 9, Kawi springs up. The bell sounds to end round 4, just before the ref can check to see if Kawi is all right. The change in this bout has been amazing. The first 2 rounds looked like Kawi was going to easily manhandle Conte. But in the last 2, our boy has shown his true Liverpool grit. I will give a special toast of bubbly to him for showing what we citizens of Liverpool are made of. The crowd has remained on its feet, loving their own fighter, Conte, the pride of Liverpool. Conte scored 10-8 for Kawi in round 4. The bell has sounded for round 5. The fighters meet at ring centre. Conte misses with a big left cross. If that had connected, this fight would be all over. Conte's corner has done a great job on his left eye. Kawi misses with a left cross, but lands a 5-point right cross. Conte staggers into the ropes from that blow. He looks like he is in serious trouble. Kawi lands a 3-point left uppercut. Conte clinches. Out of the clinch, Conte lands a 2-point combination that causes a minor cut under Kawi's right eye. Kawi counters with a 2-point left hook to the stomach and a right cross for 2 points to the temple as the bell sounds to end round 5. Kawi went back to manhandling Conte in that round, even though he did suffer a minor cut. You can hear Kawi's shouts all over the arena when he lands a blow. Maybe John will return to the form he showed in the previous 2 rounds. Kawi had 16 points in round 5, while Conte only had 2. And I will take 2 sips of bubbly to begin round 6. Kawi comes out and pushes Conte into the ropes above the media table. Muhammad Kawi lands a 2-point combination. Kawi lands a 4-point uppercut that staggers John Conte. That punch has Conte on rubbery legs. Kawi lands a 2-point left cross and a 4-point right uppercut that has sweat flying everywhere. Conte is definitely in trouble. Conte grabs Kawi in a bear hug. John is trying to clear his head after that onslaught. The referee is doing all he can to separate the two boxers. Kawi is trying to wiggle away, but Conte has him in a vice. Finally, Conte lets go of Kawi. Conte is issued a stern warning for holding by the ref. Conte circles Kawi and lands a 3-point combination. Kawi is loading up on a right hook when Conte grabs him again in a clinch. The referee is trying again to separate the fighters as the bell sounds to end round 6. He follows Conte back to his corner and tells his corner that he has deducted a point for holding. He motions to the judges' table to take a point away from Conte. The crowd is booing that decision. I think Conte was in survival mode after being hit so many times in that round. He was trying to clear his head. In that round, Kawi had 12 points scored to 2 for Conte. Oh, I've just received a text from our Bangkok studio. I have been warned to stop cheering for John Conte. If I keep it up, my bubbly will be taken away from me and I will be demoted to announcing wrestling matches in New Guinea between goats and sheep. Okay, I will be on my best behavior and will put a cork in the bubbly as the bell sounds for round 7. Round 7 begins with Kawi on his toes, dancing around Conte. It is very rare to see the Camden buzzsaw on his toes in a bout. Kawi becomes flat-footed and lands a 2-point left jab. Kawi misses a right hook, but lands a 3-point triple left jab. Conte is trying his best to block the punches, but Kawi has turned on the speed. Despite his short arms, Kawi is a very fast puncher. Kawi lands a 2-point left jab that opens the cut under Conte's left eye. Kawi twists his body and uncorks a crushing right hook to the jaw that sends Conte to the canvas. My word, Conte's head hit the mat hard. The referee is not even bothering to count. Conte's cornermen have thrown in the towel. At 1:37 of the 7th round, Dwight Muhammad Kawi has knocked out Conte. There is a hushed silence in this arena. Conte is still on the mat. Let's pray that he will get up. The ring doctor is kneeling over Conte. Thank goodness, Conte is slowly getting to his feet with the assistance of his corner. Kawi is also lending a hand. Kawi pats Conte on his back and gives him a kiss on the cheek. The crowd is exploding in cheers for the good sportsmanship shown by the American. I take back everything I said prior about him. Dwight Muhammad Kawi is a gentleman and a great ambassador for the sport of boxing. I am getting so choked up. Oh my, I have never cried at a match before, but I am now. I'm also crying too because I can't uncork my bottle of bubbly. Someone please assist me. I will return you now to our Bangkok studio. This is Knockout Nigel, your humble announcer. Cheers. Can someone help me uncork my bubbly? You there, Lennox. Lennox Lewis, can you help me?
Oh, poor Knockout Nigel. My goodness. Yeah, he'll be in Indonesia somewhere soon, maybe in Belarus, covering fights if he doesn't. You have to be non-partial. You have to do that. But anyway, hope you enjoyed that fight. Connors versus Kwawi, a fight that should have happened. They were both around at the time together, but they fought the same opponents, but never got together and fought. So I hope you enjoyed that. And like I always say, Kwawi won that fight by a knockout in the seventh round, but if I put this fight in the computer 500 times, it could be the other way, 250 of those times. You know, it depends, but it's all in fun. And I hope you enjoyed that fight today. And if you have any, you know, you can be a promoter on this program. You can be one. As I always say, we've had a number of folks who have promoted fights on here, and you can do the same. So wherever you listen to the program, be it on Facebook, on YouTube, at my YouTube channel, Nourished by History, wherever you listen to the program, just drop me a line. So many people do that. And just say, hey, I want this fighter versus this fighter on your next show. And I love to put them on here. I love to do that. And as I always say, I only, as far as new fighters, I only have Devin Haney, Tyson Fury, Usyk, Anthony Joshua, Daniel Dubois, and some other lighter weights, and most of the women fighters. But as far as other current fighters, I always ask folks to pick fighters from like 2010 on back. And just, you know, let your imagination run wild. Go back to the turn of the 20th century. Go to the 19th century, because I got Peter Jackson, heavyweight at that time, and whoever you want. We'll be more than happy to do it on the program. But I'm just happy that you've tuned in today. And I always, you know, this program, besides doing fantasy fights and talking about real boxing news, we also interview folks in the world of boxing, as well as other endeavors. It can be anything from baseball, just history in general, food, you know, because it's your show and it's my show, so I can put on whoever I want. But I hope you enjoy the interviews I'll be having on here. You know, if you have anybody that you'd like me to interview, I'd be more than happy to do it. And we also on here, we like to play a little music. And last week I got a lot of requests. A lot of people like the DC go-go music I play. So I'm going back to the late 70s. And this is the father of go-go music out of Washington, D.C., the late, great, one and only legendary Chuck Brown. And I'm going to play right now, Back It On Up, Show You Right. And I hope this is played, because I know sometimes some of you who listen on YouTube, some of the music gets blocked out, so hopefully you'll hear this. So if you don't hear it, there'll be like 10 minutes of silence. So let's hear Chuck Brown, Back It On Up, Show You Right, on the Show to Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
If you want some more, we'll even go to four just to keep it alive. Let's back it on up. Guess what she said to me, fellas? She said, you ain't got no money, you just talking trash. You can keep your credit cards, just give me the cash. Show you right.
Show you right.
Show you right. That's what she said to me. You ain't got no money.
Got no money.
You just talking trash.
Just talking trash.
You can keep your credit cards.
Keep your credit cards.
Just give me the cash.
Just give me the cash.
Show you right.
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 You know you're right.
This program is brought to you by the makers of Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle, those delicious frozen confections on a stick. Now I have a swell surprise for you. The famous winner of the typical American boy contest has now become Popsicle Pete. And here's a message from him.
Hello, everybody. I sure am glad to meet you. And boy, am I glad I was picked to be the typical American boy, because now I'm Popsicle Pete. I always wanted to be on the radio. Now I have a chance to tell you about some wonderful presents you can get free. See, you ought to see them. Hundreds of them. You get them just for saving bags from Nifty Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. Some gifts, even better than Christmas. You can get a wristwatch, a movie camera, table tennis, a wallet, a doll. See, lots of gifts. Just save the bags from Popsicle, Creamsicle, and Fudgicle on a handy stick. Boy, do they taste good.
Wholesome, too, and nourishing. Made fresh every day of the finest ingredients. The biggest 5 cents worth anywhere.
And say, kids, get the free illustrated Popsicle gift list at your ice cream store. A free coupon comes with it, worth 10 bags.
Man, I need some ice cream. I need a Popsicle after all that dancing I did. I felt like I've been in a fight with Anthony or Joshua. I was dancing like we did to that song, Back It On Up. That was the one and only, the late, great Chuck Brown. The father of DC go-go music. And you only hear it here on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. But anyway, this is Greg Rashid. I hope you enjoyed the program today. And if you got any questions or just anything as far as promoting fights and all, please, like I said, drop me a line at anywhere that you listen to this program. Be it on Apple, be it on TikTok, YouTube, on my Nourished by History channel, wherever you listen, just drop me a line. Love talking to my folks out there. But again, this is Greg Rashid. I'm saying go in love and go in peace and help someone along the way. And remember, every morning that you wake up, get up, look in that mirror, and hug yourself and say, I love myself. I love myself. Because if you don't love yourself, as the song said in back, as Chuck Brown said in Back It On Up, if you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone. You can't do anything. And if you're sight impaired, get up, hug yourself, and say you love yourself. Because we got to bring love in this world. We got to do what we can to bring positive energy wherever you are, be it in your prefecture, condo area, farmland, wherever you are. Do what you can to make the place a better place. And also, if you can, wherever you are in this world, if you can help someone in need, you know, a senior in your community, a young person, or even give back to someone, you know, who's in the hospital now, you know, do what you can, because we're all in this together. And if you can go and offer something as far as encouragement to someone who's incarcerated, who needs someone just to talk to, if you can do that, that'll be great. Because we're all in this together. This is our sphere. And despite what some people said, as far as you're listening in America, that, you know, that America was going to end on the eclipse. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You know, of course not. But anyway, do what you can to make the world a better place. And we do what we can on this show by trying to provide the best possible show for you. So again, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, my friends. See you next time for another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks.